Meskanan. Shinayin Zayin. First of all, it is Shabbos Nachmu, so let's just bear in mind. Rashi teaches us in Bereishis that Nachama, Kol Lashon Nachama, is a Lashon of Machshava Acheres. Every Lashon, every terminology of Nachama is Machshava Acheres, a different way of understanding things. A different way of understanding things. So therefore, that's what Nachama is about, is when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the capacity to be able to look at things in a different light. In other words, the Zayin de Nechemta, the seven Haftorahs of Hav Nechama, that we start saying this Shabbos and continue up until Rosh Hashanah, are not going to take away what happened in the three Haftorahs of Puranos, of Calamity.
This is how we should be looking.
Yeah, it's not going to take it away. It's not going to take it away. But it gives us the capacity to look at it in a different light.
Look at what?
To look at the events in a different light.
Which events?
The events of Calamity.
Destruction of the temple.
Right, I wasn't talking about the fact that I couldn't find my cuticle cutter this morning. Okay. It's clear that there was a good reason we don't bring this out every day. Right. Okay. So the idea of Nechama is that it gives us a machshava acheres, a different way to look at things. And that's really what this time period is about. And not only is it giving us a different way to look at things, but also the Rambam brings down that Klal Yisrael reads the Haftorahs of Nechama up until Rosh Hashanah. And that's a strange terminology. And Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, remember the last year that he gave us, right? He knew he was going for a very serious operation, which Lamaisa he never really recovered from. The last thing he said to us was, we were discussing this Rambam, brought down that the Haftorahs of Nechama are said from after Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah. He said, because it's important for us to know that even after we get a smack, right, that the Rebbe still loves us. Now, we shouldn't think that the smack is indicative of a lack of love. Right, that was the last thing he said, and that was, Niba, right? He prophesied, and he probably knew what he was prophesying about, right? So in any event, so that's an important thing to bear in mind that during these weeks we have a capacity to be able to, right, the idea is not to forget, right? Let's not think about it. Let's, you know, run away from it. Let's pretend it never happened. Like it used to be in, you know, I don't know if it still is, but it was like the big thing, the weekend, you know, Shabbos Nachamu in the Catskills, right? You know, the bad times are over, right? Happy days are here again. Let's, you know, for all the acquaintance, yeah, whatever. And it's not that at all. It's the idea of plunging into understanding that which has happened, to be able to look at it in a new light, and to be able to put our lives together in a different fashion. That's really what it's about. I think in that sense, I think what we'll discuss today also in Veschanan, I think relates to that, because Veschanan and the Medrash here and the what do you call them, the Farshim.
How do you think we're supposed to relate to yourself?
I think on a personal level, I think each person has to do that personally. In other words, I think, first thing is we need to learn some Torah, right? So we'll learn what some of the, what do you call it, what Rashi says, maybe some Mefarshim, some other Mefarshim, and the Midrashim here, and the Sfasemis here is exquisite on the topic of Tefillah. and
which spots do I see, like a half a dozen of them?
Does anybody think this is a result of the fact that,
that
you think so? You think so?
Well,
you know, remind me the next time before we call before he suggests the lechayim, right? That this is a mistake. Hold on 1 second. Just a second. Vasem says things here that are so important for tefillah that really they change your life. They really change your life. Okay, so let's start. Suppose this is Vizkanan al Hashem Ba'isa Hilei Mor.
What do you think it starts with love?
It's a Vava Chibur, right? It's talking about the last thing he did after he was told that he was, the Jewish people had come out into the Eivor HaYarden and they'd conquered Sichon Va'og. I mean, Rashi relates to it. Right? Rashi relates to it. In other words, he thought that perhaps after having conquered Sichon and Og, right? Those two great kings on the other side of the Jordan, and now that it had become part, in a sense, not totally of Eretz Yisrael, but to a degree part of Eretz Yisrael, because the Maisa, Reuven and Gad and the half Shevet of Menashe, right? They're going to stay there. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought that perhaps the shvua, the neder, whatever the shvua that a Kadosh Baruch Hu took not to allow him to go into Eretz Yisrael had been nullified, or at least to a degree nullified. In other words, either quantitatively in the fact that now that this land is going to be the place where 2.5 tribes are going to sit, so it's considered part of Eretz Yisrael to a degree. It could be not a full fledged part of Eretz Yisrael. Right, but it's still, nonetheless, it is a part of Eretz Yisrael because those 2.5 tribes have now inherited it. And once a shur, a neder, shahut or miktsasa, once part of the neder, the shur, has been nullified, so then the whole thing falls apart. So that would put him in a situation of being able to pray, because we know that a person should always pray. A person should always daven, no matter what. The Gemara says, "Afilu cherev chada munachas al savar shel adam." Even if a person feels the blade of the sword upon his, what do you call it, his neck, he shouldn't be misyayish, right? Bin arachamim. He shouldn't be misyayish to engage in rachmim, rachmim, bakoshes rachmim in tefila. So now the fact that he thought now, but the din is that tefila can overturn. I mean, it's a discussion. It's actually very complex. But certainly, it appears that the tefillah can overturn anything, unless there's a shvua. Unless there's a shvua.
How about a gezerah?
A gezerah that doesn't have a shvua on it, a person can overturn. A gezerah is just a decree. A shvua makes that even stronger. There's an oath on it. If it's a tzibur, if it's something for the public. Public may sound like we're talking about the waterworks, yeah. But if we're talking about something that attracts the tzibur, so then even that can be overturned, perhaps. But certainly yachid, an individual, it can't be overturned if there's a shvua. But if the shvua,
who makes the shvua? Shem,
right? If the shvua, however, right, has been nullified, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu thought, because they entered into those two, this other side of the Yarden, and that was going to belong to Reuven and Gad and the half of the Shevet of Menashe. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought, okay, that's it, the shua is gone, and now I can overturn the gzeira.
Wait, he thought it was a shvua.
Hashem took a shvua, but he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so the shvua isn't going to go into Eretz Yisrael
before 40 years.
Not before 40 years, but we call when he hit the rock, that's it. He's not coming into Eretz Yisrael. Like Shem swore that he's not coming into Eretz Yisrael. So he thought that the shua was partially nullified by virtue of the fact that now that Reuven and God and the half of Shevet Menashe inherited that part of the land. Therefore, if it's partially nullified, it's completely nullified. The whole thing falls apart. The fabric of the shua falls apart. Now it's just a gzera, a decree. He's going to pray. He's going to daven. He's going to daven. I shouldn't use the word pray. He's going to daven. He's going to be mispalel. He's going to be mispalel. And the fact is, though, that really it wasn't nullified. Wasn't nullified because when he entered into that land, when they conquered that land, so really, it wasn't going to be inhabited. It wasn't going to get the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael yet. It was going to be left empty. It was going to be left empty. Right? It's only after Bnei Gadim Bnei Ruvain asked for it, now it becomes theirs. So because of their request, it became theirs. Not because of Moshe Rabbeinu's conquering it. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, the thought of Shmuel was, you're not going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. There's an oath that you're not going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. But now he's conquered part of it. But the truth was, it wasn't considered as though he conquered it, because since in fact, when he did indeed conquer it, it wasn't going to get the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael yet. It wasn't going to get it. They were going to leave it barren, because they were going to just pay use it a passageway to go into Eretz Yisrael and conquer Eretz Yisrael proper. Perhaps afterwards they come back for it, but they had no Kedusha yet. But because the Reuven and God and the half of the Shevet Menashe received it, then de facto it received the degree of Kedusha. But that wasn't as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu's conquering it. It was a result of their request.
So what did this lead him to do?
He thought that what he called the oath had been nullified partially, and it wasn't.
Then he was going to ready to go in there to
start. No, he was, now he begins to daven. Because he has to overturn the decree. Right? The only thing is, there's no point in davening if there's an oath.
That's interesting. First he thought that it's Shavuot, and then he still has daven because of the decree.
Right. So this basically is what the Gur Aryeh says, and what the Griz, right, also points out, the Brisker Rav. Okay. So now we're happy with the backdrop. Okay. Fine. Lamaisa. Do they sell tasers for private individuals?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, okay. Maybe. Okay. So, golly. Okay, stay well. Fine. So that's where we're standing right now. So he begins to daven. The fact is that many things were learned from this davening. And why is it that a Koviyakol, a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kilu, Moshe Rabbeinu had a Havamina, right? He davens, a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, that's not the Pshat. That's not the Pshat. It didn't have the Kedusha, but we learned like the Griz. You didn't get the full Kedusha for yourself, because it wasn't through your conquering. In other words, it got the Kedusha, but it got it as a result of their request. Of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven's request, not because of your conquering it. So therefore, it doesn't show that you've already been allowed to conquer part of Eretz Yisrael, they should be entitled to conquer the rest of Eretz Yisrael, etc. But Lamaisa, the fact is that many things were learned from this tefillah. Many, many things were learned from this tefillah. And that's what we're going to explore now. Okay, fine. Okay, so now Rashi says in the Eschanan, Ein chanun b'chol mokom el aloshon matnat chinam, a free gift. Even though the tzaddikim, as it were, could be told that they could make their request dependent upon their deeds, hatovim, their good deeds, they make a request except for a free gift. The eschanan, chanan is a lotion of chinam, with a mem at the end. We won't get lost in the nun and the mem. That's a discussion, right? But we go the matnas chinam, a free gift. V'sha'amalo, v'chanosius asher achon, amalo b'loshen v'eschanan. Since Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem all the way back at the time of the Cheta Egel that Hashem gives a matnas chinam to those who he chooses to give to. In other words, he gives to people who ostensibly don't appear to have any right to anything. Right? That's what we told him. That's part of the process of forgiving the Jewish people. At the time of the Cheta Ego, so Moshe Rabbeinu called on that principle. He called out on that concept, He says, okay, you told me that. So I want it for myself also. I want a matnas chinam. I'm not saying my schus. I'm not saying what I did. I'm not saying what I accomplished. I'm not saying that I deserve anything. I deserve zip. I'm asking for matnas chinam, eschanam. Then Rashi says, Dover Acher, Ma'asar l'shonos shenikreis tefila to the east of Sifri. So Rashi says, why is the terminology, you know, why is the terminology of eschanan used over here as opposed to espalel? But when we talk about tefila, we use the word espalel. Why is the verb eschanan used? So Rashi in his first parish says, it's telling us qualitatively that the nature of the way tzaddikim ask is they don't ask based upon what they're apparently entitled to, right? Based upon their maisim. The truth is, the Sfasemis says they're not even asking based upon their previous maisim. They're asking based upon what they'll do in the future. And he says they don't even ask for that. And he says, it's worthwhile to forgive me. It's worthwhile to accept my prayer because then I will do even more in the future. That's what the Sfasemis learns it. But they're calling the normal term because we understand based upon my previous actions. But okay. And instead they ask only, I'm asking for freebies. That's the first parish. The second parish is that the Rashi says that there are 10 lashonos that tefillah is referred to. It brings to the Medrash. 10 lashonos, 10 terminologies. 10 terminologies are used with regard to tefillah. Ten verbs that are used in the context of tefillah. Other place says seven, Medrash says ten, right? This Medrash. Then, and what the ten are is really quoted. The Medrash that he's quoting over here, that we'll see, the Medrash Rabbah, has one nusach. There are other nusachos also as well of what the ten terminologies are of tefillah. Let's just understand in general. The Gra says the difference between tefillah and tachanunim. The verbs we say in Shema Koleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Chus Farachim Aleinu, the Kabel Barachim Rabbaton is tefillaseinu. Kikel Shomea Tfilos V'Sachanunim. Tfilos V'Sachanunim. So I really, Rav Avram ben Agra says. Rav Avram ben Agra says, what does it mean? Tfilos for sachanunim. Tfilos are a statement of this is the way you are, Kodesh Baruch Hu. So surely you'll answer me. Like, for instance, if you think of the first bracha in the intermediate bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, Ata chonin lo adam das, Malamed lenosh bina, Chanin mitcha de'a bina vaskel, Baruch ato Hashem chonin adas. Hashem, you're a chonin das. You give wisdom, understanding to man. Right? You're the chonin adas. You're the one who gives it to him. And therefore I ask of you, chonin mitzcha de'abinu vaskel. Right? Brachato Hashem, chanun amar be'lislach. You are the one who graciously gives forgiveness. Therefore I'm asking you beforehand, slach lono avinu kichatanu, mechalono makin kifashanu. I'm asking, please forgive me, because that's who you are. That's what the lashon of tefillah is. Tefillah is this is how you are. It's like a lashon of plilus of justice. This is who you are. And that's where your justice should be manifest. Tachanunim, as we said already, is beseeching. Amat naschinim. I have nothing. I have nothing without you. I have nothing without you. So just bear that in mind. Now let's look at the Medrash. Smack dab in the middle page on page 1. Eschanan al Hashem. Halacha, Adam be Yisrael, Shaya Omeidu Espalel. Maushi Mutulo li Espalel Bekol Godel. This Medrash has a number of things put together in very quick succession that we find in the Gemara in Brachos, in the Perek Ein Omdi. Ein Omdi in the Espalel, Mitochovid Rosh. So here it has a collection of things written together that we find also over there. Says the Medrash, you think that perhaps a person could call out when you daven, maybe you should daven loudly. Shmoneh Esrei we're talking about here. Maybe you should daven loudly. Kach shanu chachomim. Haya omen mispala yachol yashmiya kolo kvar nam parsh pir shachana. Vinechani medaberes aliba. Chana spoke to her heart. It was heart talk. It wasn't meant for anybody else to hear. You might think that you call out in a loud voice. We learn from Chana, don't call out in a loud voice during Shemona Esrei. Don't. It's heart talk. You need to enunciate it, that we do know. You do need to enunciate it, but it needs to be only very private for you to hear, not for anybody else to hear. Fine. Go to the bold after that. Yochayeh mispalel b'chol shah, shiirtze, v'arpirish David, ere v'vokim etzoraim, asicha ve'emah, v'yishmar kuli. Person might think, well, you know what? Let's say I want to have 5 tefillos in the morning, and the rest of the day I'm going to go skiing. Right? Says the Buddha Kuat, says no. You need your b'kuyev to daven, shachris, but he called it tzaraim in the evening, or the way it says here, erev, volker v'tzaraim. The evening, the morning, the set times that a person needs to daven. The 3 set times of the day. Morning.
That's in the
Medrash? Right? That's in the Medrash, yes. But brings it from Pasuk until nun hey. Erev, volker v'tzaraim, asicha ve'ema, v'yishma kuli. So that the in the evening, the morning, and in the afternoon. Perhaps a person should just say, hey Hashem, I need this, hey Hashem, I need that, hey Hashem, I need the third thing. Karpira Shlomo, Shlomo explained, Lishmoy el arina fela tefila. No, that's not the way to daven. You don't get up there and say, hey Hashem, I need this, I need this, I need the next thing. Lishmoy arina fela tefila. Rina zukiluso shala kodesh baruch hu. Rina, so we're learning a lot of terminology here. Rina means the praise of Hashem. Right? Tefillah is the tzrachov, right? Utfila tzrachov shalom. And the tefillah are the needs of man. Right? Again, here we're talking about the difference between Rina and Tefillah. Rina and Tefillah. The Rina refers to the praise of Hashem. The Tefillah refers to the request of what he called the quest of man.
So what do you do?
We're defining these terms again in the context, right, of what we said before from Ramban Agra. There's tefillah and there's tachanunim.
Right.
Tefillah speaks about my needs in terms of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is who you are, so you'll give me my needs. Tachanunim is the way, yeah, that I mavakesh, I ask for matnas chinam. In that context, that's what tefillah versus tachanunim means. Here in the Medrash is describing the difference between tefillah and rina. Rina is praise of Hashem. Again, we're it's different topics, so therefore the same word, we're looking at a different aspect of the same word. In the Medrash it's talking about tefillah and rina. Rina is praise of Hashem, and tefillah is the bakasha of my needs. Fine. So you have to do both things.
So what are you telling me? What are you saying? Davening is not the answer to what we need. You just said that previously.
I said, you don't just ask for what you need. You have to include it in the context of praise also of Hashem.
First right? You praise, then you ask.
Right. So we have to understand that. Okay? Okay, one more thing here. Yeah? One more thing. Or two more things. Abashol Omer. Zesiman l'tfila. In kiven adam libo. This is also in the Gemara in Brachos. Perhaps not 100% the same terminology, but yeah, it's also in the Gemara in Brachos. Abishol says an unbelievable thing. If a person, yeah, is kiven adam libo, if a person is machavin his heart, right? So he's muftach shetfilos nishmas. He's guaranteed that his tefillah has been heard. Now, what in the world is that supposed to mean? Yeah, but if you're not mechaving, you didn't daven. It's like saying, you know.
So define mechaving. Intention.
Well, what intention? Because let's say I'm davening over there, and I'm someplace. But Reb Chaim talks about this. Reb Chaim Brisker talks about the idea. If my davening, I spent my whole davening thinking about, you know, the place, you know, whether the Steelers are gonna
yeah,
beat
not
the.
You said mechaving with your heart. You're thinking about the Steelers, and
you don't need Abishol to tell you that. It's like saying, what do you call it? You know, if a person puts tefillin on his arm, he was used to putting tefillin on his arm. It's like you should know that in case he decided to wrap it around his leg, right, he wasn't Yotze. Of course he wasn't Yotze. He didn't do it.
We don't
need Abba Shol to tell us something that Puff and Spot could have taught us, right? For those that remember. And further than that, Amar of Yochanan, Asar Lashonos Nikreis Tfila. There are 10 terminologies referred to as Tfila, and then he mentions all of them. Shava, Tzaka, Naka, Rina, Pgia, Bitsa, Kriya, Nipo, Pilu. V'sachanunim Shava.
What's
Pilu? V'falel. It's also what you call it. It's not quite Tfila. Not quite Tfila. Okay. Fine. It's not quite Tfila. It's Pilul is like what you call it, is like, you know, it's a demand of justice. He demanded justice. He took after he killed Cosby, right, and Zimri, and he turned them into shish kebab, right, and he slammed them down with a spear into the earth, and he said, "For this should die 24,000 Jews, etc." So the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Vayefalel Pinchas." Vayefalel Pinchas. Okay. Okay. Fine. We're not going to get into that. Okay. Right. Because then if we go off on every tangent, we're going to go off the one that gets to the cosine.
Yeah. Like 2 pages. We're going to get to.
Okay. Fine. So. What do you call it? Okay.
No.
So Sfas Emes says. He says, "Bemedrash Asor Loshonos, Heim Hadrochim VeEitzos Lovel LaTfila Ki Tfila Atzmo Einu Bechlal Loshonos." He says, "Tfila itself." The first Sfas Emes on the page, right? This is linear. Yeah. The first Sfas Emes on the page there. He says, "Heim Hadrochim VeEitzos Lovel LaTfila." These 10 Loshonos, these 10 terminologies, are the ways to reach Tfila.
He's commenting on Rabbi Yochanan?
He's commenting on the Medrash, right. Right. These are ways to reach Tfila. Tfila itself, he says, is Eino Bechlal
Lashonos. I thought he said, when you first began, he said the 10 terminologies came from Rashi.
10 terminologies? What?
Rashi came through.
Rashi mentioned them, right? And he's pretty close. Yeah, he's referring to the Medrash, the Chor. Yeah. Then further on, he says, he brings down Abba Shol, he says, Tochen libam tachivaz necha. That's a simon l'tfila. That if a person, Tochen libam, Abba Shol says, if a person, yeah, Tochen libam, if, what does it mean, Tochen libam? If you arrange their heart, right, then tachivaz necha, your ears will hear. If you arrange their heart, so, Hashem, so where is my kavana? It's my kavana. Tachin libam, you're mechavin their heart. Tachivaz necha. And then your ears will hear. So it sounds like it's a unilateral act on the part of Hashem. He arranges the heart. He's mechavin the heart. He directs the heart. And then when he goes, he hears it. Those are what are we doing?
We should be so lucky to have them. We should understand what's going on.
But what are we doing? What are we doing? Not doing anything in that pasuk. It doesn't say, Achin libi, I'll prepare my heart. Tachivaz necha. You'll wake up. Your ears will hear my tefila. It says tochin libam. You arrange their hearts. Tachivaz necha. So the Sfas Emes says, right, that basically that the long and short of this medrash is that a person, right. What is a person trying to do in tefillah? A person is trying to escape his complete and total attachment to Olam Hazeh the way it is. He's struggling, as it were. He's struggling to reach beyond, to recognize that really, right, he has nothing other than what Hashem gives him. He has nothing other than what Hashem gives him. His existence, his being, every event, I mean, you can't say more than his very being is from Hashem. Right? Okay? That's what a person is trying to do. So that's what the lashon of tachanunim, the different ways that a person can reach that. How do you break the shell? Sometimes it's through bitzur, one of the lashonos of tefillah. Bitzur is lashon, comes lashon tsar. When a person feels narrow straits, he feels like he's being broken, or he feels empty. These are all different modes of affect, of a person's feelings, groupings, or it would call it the feelings that he has that are able that say to him, I can't like this. I have to get out of this. I have to connect to the Rabbon Shalom. I have to connect to him. Right? This is not it. This is not the be all and end all of everything. It can't be. My suffering is too great. He can do it through suffering. He can do it through beseeching, asking for a matnas chinam. These are all methodologies by which a person arrives at, as it were, escape velocity. To leave behind,
to connect to Hashem.
Oh, so then what happens is if a person does that, then Hashem says, okay, I'll now align your heart.
Yeah.
That's the pasuk. Tachin libam, right? And a person knows that his deep desire to connect, right? Then Hashem responds with aligning his heart. Then he knows his feelings being heard. Because he can't reach that escape velocity himself. All he can do is set up, he can prime the pump. All he can do is, through either his tsar, or his tachanunim, or his, what he called his naka, or tsa'aka, or what, all the different terminologies they use, as the Sfasem says, all they do is they prime the pump. And when he has reached, critical mass, in terms of what he called of, it's not here. Hashem, I want to be connected to you. I don't want to live in this world just like a humdrum existence, right? Of where everybody goes, the world just goes tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, creeps in this petty pace from day to day. I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to live in Shakespeare's world. I want to live beyond that. When he knows that, when he reaches the critical mass of that yearning to connect to Hashem, then Hashem aligns his heart. And that's what Abba Shaul is saying. That's what Pasuk means. Tochin libam. When you arrange, or you machave, and you direct, you align his heart. Right? Takshubas necha. Then a person knows that Hashem is going to hear his tefillah.
Abba Shaul is a Tana or a Mora?
Tana. Fine. Right? So that's the idea. That's why what Rashi was saying is that tzaddikim don't ask based upon their ma'isim. Right? They don't ask based upon their ma'isim. Whether you explain it the way we most usually explain it, which is, what do you call it? Well, look what I did over here, look what I did over here, look what I did over the next place, etc. Or the way Sfasemis says homiletically, look what I can do if you'll give me something. It's all too eye-oriented.
And that's what the ten terminologies are?
They're all different ways of breaking through. One of them is tachanunim, tchina.
Rearrange your heart.
That's the next stage. When you've implemented one of these ten ways, as it were, to break through the shell, to reach critical mass, right? When you use one of those 10 ways, one of them is tchina. Matnas tchinam. I don't deserve anything. With a tough, not a test.
Oh,
I always said that. Right? When you're mevakesh, what do you call it? I don't deserve anything. But it says, golmi ro einecha. Golmi ro einecha. My lifeless form, your eyes have seen. What does that mean? Everybody starts off before Hashem breathes soul into him. Before Hashem breathes soul into him. He's a lifeless form.
When a person thinks about that, that means my very being, my breath, every thought I ever had, every action I ever did, everything I ever experienced is all emanating from Hashem. Then he's reached the point of, I know I have no being without you. He's now at the point that Hashem will now be mechavin his heart, will align his heart upstairs to his source, right? And now he knows his tefillah will be heard. These are all methodologies. That's why the idea. That's
one of the ten terminologies.
Tchina, yeah, tchina, chanuni. That's what Rashi said. That's really cool. That's what Rashi says. That even the tzaddikim don't say, "Hey, I recall either," like I said before, either based upon my previous actions, yeah, or like the Sfasemis says in Rashi, that they don't base it upon their deeds, their future deeds. Oh, look what I will do, etc. That's too eye-oriented. The concept of anything beyond being eye-oriented is diametrically opposed to this idea of Golmi Roei Necha, right? You made my lifeless form. And there it was, lifeless, and you breathed life into me. That means everything I have, everything I will have, everything I ever had, right? Every experience, every thought, every deed, everything, you breathed into me, put into me. So that's why kibus, that's why we say, you lishmoel arena v'latzfila, like the Medrash brought down, like Sfasemis explains to us. That's why tfila has to have in it, not just bakasha. It has to have praise of Hashem. Not because Hashem needs the praise.
But
before you get to thanking, you got to get into the highway. If we're not thinking about who Hashem is, so we're not going to think of who we are vis-a-vis Hashem. If all I'm thinking of, you know, Hashem, you know, let the Saints win the Super Bowl, right? Right? So that means I'm fakacht, I'm all cooking in what I want. I've never left my egocentric universe. I've never entered into the world of tefillah. The Medrash says that there's some things that are close that are far, and some things that are far that are close. Medrash is all here, whatever, better to get out. Yeah? Some things that are far that are close, and some things that are close that are far. Avodah Zarah is close. But it's far. It's close because it's right there. It's available. It's there. You got it there. And the way a Avodah Zarah would work is it was like jimmying a lock, or like, you know, hot wiring a car, right? You could use what you call the Avodah Zarah as it were to attach yourself to conduits that were coming down, reroute them, etc., etc., etc. But there was never a response from the Avodah Zarah. Was where I had no ability to respond. There's only one who could respond. That's Hashem. No creation can respond, yeah, through tefillah to the request of another creation. No creation, no force that Hashem created has the ability to respond through tefillah to what he called to another creation. In other words, to daven, right? That's why Avodah Zarah is called Elohim Acherim. Rashi says, why? Because they're Acherim to those who call out to them. They're strangers to them. Because there's no such thing. It's like I'm saying what he called, you know, Avram, turn my hair black. Are you crazy? I mean, if you want, I'll dip you upside down in a mud puddle. But what do you call it? But I can't turn your hair black. You can't be mispowel. You can't be mispowel to another creation. So all the forces, the Odeh Vodazor, what they were able to just do, what they were doing is they're just hot wiring the car, right? There are certain kohos or conduits, etc. And Hashem allows that to be a part of the nisoyon of life. And then you route it this way, you route it that way, you route it this way, you route it that way. But when you call out to them, right? Answer me. They can't answer, right? They record their ears are not capable of hearing. Whereas by Hashem, so Hashem is far, but he's close, right? To reach Hashem is not so easy, right? To reach Hashem, you have to negate yourself to in your standing before him, in your stance before him, then you're able to step through the looking glass. and you're able to connect, he'll connect you, and then you know your tefillah is being heard.
Rearrange
your heart. Right? Right? Talking libam, if you really call it, if we call out in a sense of gol miro einecha, right? My lifeless form is in front of you. Then talking libam tachivas necha. Look at the bottom Sfasemis. The bottom Sfasemis. Talking about the... The Midrash. Dinei Tefillah, Erev HaVok of a time, relating to the three times a day. The previous one,
we mentioned that before.
Right, so we know that the way to daven is, first you arrange the praise of Hashem. Like we said, arranging the praise of Hashem, it's not Hashem needs the praise. He doesn't need any cosmic, God forbid, pat on the back. Right? Etc. But arranging the praise of Hashem is what puts a person on the highway of tefillah. All those, when we rush through the first three brachos, especially Magen Avraham, right? We know that you mess up Magen Avraham, you're in a different planet. Right? You're not really on the planet of tefillah. The din is, it's not the halakha l'maisa. The din is, if you mess up Magen Avraham, you really should start all over again. If you weren't thinking, if you were thinking about Nets, Jets, Knicks, right, Clicks, right, instead of, right, you really should start Shemoneh Esrei again. The other thing is, the halakha, we don't do it. Why? Because you might mess it up all over again. This is a very sad thing, but that's a very old halakha l'maisa. But you really on a different plane of tefillah. You continue davening, but your mamash on a different, it's a different plane. It's a different, you know, it's a much lower level. When a person, however, though, connects through those first three brachos, Hashem's providence, magid, magen avram, Hashem's omnipotence, chayim meisim, Hashem's transcendence, atakodosh, and yet his imminence, kedoshim b'chol yom yalucha selah. Those who transform themselves into kedoshim, their praise is attached to Hashem forever and ever, right? While they're in this world, after the shuffle off the mortal coil, and in the world to come, right? So when the person connects with Hashem that way, now we're on a highway. Within that highway, Hashem ani das, Hashem ani tshuva, Hashem ani tzlicha, right? Hashem saved the Jewish people from their tzaras. Hashem send, what do you call it, the health to all those who are ill, and protect the health of those who are still healthy, which is so important, we forget it, we take it for granted, right, etc. Just, you know. Yep. So see, he continues, says the Sfasemis. He says, Va'inyun ki ikar ha'tfilo hamshich Chius Chadosho Selateva Shuazman. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Ach Limdunu, second line. Limdunu Abbasinu, Kiatfila Kavu Bechoyom, Kubelis Vechaviva Yoyse. You can call out Hashem anytime. But it's important, right? Right? It's particularly precious to Hashem when a Jew davens at the three times a day, evening, morning, and afternoon. Each part of the day. Why? Why? Right? You hear this? The ikar of tefillah is to inject into the world of teva, right? And to inject into the world of teva Hashem's presence. Hashem's presence is in everything, but like the Sasemis has told us, taught us endlessly. Right? It's to making a kiddush. Right? It's Hashem's presence is in everything. It's in everything. It's in the stream of time. It's in the stream of time. But the stream of time, right? Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow keeps in this petty pace from day to day, right? At Alpha Candle, right? The time just keeps on moving and moving and moving and moving. Time looks like it's just this inexorable force. What does that have to do with Hashem's presence is in time also. When the Jewish people daven evening, morning, and afternoon, they're revealing the hidden presence of Hashem in the stream of time. That's why it's important to daven evening, morning, afternoon, those three sections of the day, so as to reveal Hashem's presence. Yeah? Hashem's presence in record in the stream of time. And that's why we say Psukim Zimma, Sfasemet says. So that we should, as it were, in the context of, you know, this is, you know, you can look at the Wild Kingdom, right? Right? That's it. Marlon Perkins. That's it. He's describing it for us. Here we are. BBC. Planet Earth. It's all wonderful. It's beautiful. It's magnificent. It's awesome. It's striking. But the idea is to show that it's all Hashem's will. Psukim Zimra speaks to that. To everything that we see in the world and to things that we don't even see, about the Malachim even. We describe the structure of the universe, etc., in the context of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator. He's the creator. That's what the Jewish people are meant to do. Amzu yatzati li tilasi yisaperu. I created, I formed this nation. That's us. Tilasi yisaperu. So we should tell over Hashem's praise. Not because Hashem is in cognitive dissonance. Right? Not because Hashem, God forbid, has a poor self-concept. It's because, what he called, because that is the way, right? That is the way that he has given us the ability to attach ourselves through our effort to not just his eternal existence, but to the eternity that's embedded inside of us. Embedded inside of us is eternity. The only thing is, if we don't exercise that ability of really relieving it, of revealing it, of showing it, of showing that it connects with Hashem's presence in space and in time, then we're underdeveloped. We're spiritually retarded. We're spiritually retarded. We've not developed ourselves.
Fine. I think we've synopsized pretty much all of these Sfas Emeses. I think one more on page 3.
You don't think the 10 terminology is so important going through this one?
Oh, I think it's important. But I think we have to make Shabbos today. And it would require a lot more. I just require a lot more. What do you call it? Delving into it than I've I'm capable of doing at the moment. There's a whole book where Pinchas wrote. Yeah, Sha'arim B'Tfilah. There's a whole book on those 10 terminologies of Tfilah. I don't know if he's using the Nusach of the Medrash Rabbah here. What?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
one of his English books too? No, did they have it in English, did it? Your Globus translator.
Yeah? Yeah. Sharma Tefillin.
Yeah, he had it in English. He said Globus translator.
Sharma
Tefillin? Sharma Tefillin, yeah. Okay. Now,
The Sfas Emes says here in this parsha, at the end of the parsha is Ve'ahavta. Parsha Shman Ve'ahavta, at the end of the parsha here. He says also something that's very related to what we were talking about before also. It's the same idea. Oh, so let's see, you'll see. He said, the Rambam asked the question, how is it possible to have How is it possible for Hashem to command the mitzvah of Ahava? How can you command something which is a feeling? So that's the last time. It says, let's just read the terminology. It says, Kushyas HaMefarshim B'Shem HaRambam. How can he command you to love? How do you command a person to love? Love me.
Him.
You can't command me to love anybody. How can you command anybody to love someone else? Is he true or you don't?
What did he used to say? He used to say, you love the most, to give you the most. What did he used to say that?
We'll have to think about it.
You remember that?
Yeah, I understand. I know what you're talking about. What? Oh, the one that you want to give to, you really call it that generates love.
The more you give
to the person, the more you love the person. But again, the question is that's because more of you is invested in that person. Your self love, right? Your self love really becomes expanded, right? So here what this Rashi says: Kushes Mafarshim B'Shem Rambam Al Mitzvos VeAhavta. How is it possible to have a commandment that speaks to the nature, right? The affect of man. The question is its own answer. How can you command somebody to do something which is part of his emotional makeup? It's part of his nature. How you either does or doesn't. How can you command him to do it? It must be, as he says, it must be bidiyuk, that the love of Hashem is inside of us. It's inside of it, just needs to be uncovered. Again, once again, this is like we were talking about before in terms of tefillah. In terms of revealing Hashem's presence inside of ourselves, in terms of revealing Hashem's presence in the stream of time, in terms of revealing Hashem's presence in terms of the events of the objects we come into contact with.
That's the whole
Here he says, beautifully, it's all buried deep in the heart. And but through the desire, the yearning and the desire, yet to what do you call it, to find this love, al zenema yagati umatsasi. If you toil, then you'll find it. In other words, you want the act that we engage in is the struggle, the yearning to uncover what's there. Right? The Sifri, like the Medrash says, Rambam brings down Sifra Mitzvahs. But you are dvarim ha'ela laman lamanema l'fishenema ve'ahavta ein yodea ketzad elam mitoch shatanosin advarim ha'libcha. How do we do that? How do we struggle to do it? We're trying to open ourselves like a can of sardine.
How do we do it?
Learn Torah. Because the Torah is Hashem's words, right? Hatanosin advarim ha'libcha takir misha amar v'haya olam. The more you learn Torah, which is Hashem's words, Hashem's will, the more that you connect to Hashem, the more that it opens up the ceiling on your heart, the more that now that point inside of you becomes revealed. So Hashem also says, not in this one, a different one, one of the ones we paraphrased before, that when a person is yearning, right, to connect to Hashem, when he realizes, I have no being without you, he says, you almost forget the things that you need. But that's also part of...
See that again?
You almost forget the things that you need. You almost forget the things you need because it's so totally overwhelmed by your greater need to connect to Him. Then Hashem, He reminds you of what to ask for. That's also part of Tachin Libam. In other words, he'll arrange your heart. He'll remind you. Don't forget you wanted to ask for das. All right. Don't forget you wanted to ask for tshuva and slicha and parnas and all those things. As we always say, you know, if a person from the world of the sublime to the world of the ridiculous, people have bakashas to make, right? The things that are so chashuv and so life and death situations. No suffix. But if a person can't, as it were, first arrive at escape velocity, can't enter into the world of tefillah, of connection, of knowing, Golmi Roe Necha, everything that is me, everything that I've seen and done and happened to me, it's all from you, Hashem. If a person doesn't get into that highway, then he can oftentimes, he's davening for a refuah shleima for somebody, but the whole davening will be, I'm worried about so-and-so. Avos, I'm worried about so-and-so. Vuros, I'm worried about so-and-so. Kedusha Hashem, I'm worried about so-and-so. Udat, Bina, I'm worried for so-and-so. Tshuva, Slicha, it goes through the whole blast of Shemoneh Esrei, come to the end of the Shemoneh Esrei. I forgot to daven for the person, because I'm so preoccupied worrying about the person.
Now that's the world of the sublime. That's a chashev thing to daven for. But when you're so preoccupied about it, you don't enter sometimes into the world of davening. A person is guaranteed.
That's good or bad?
That's not good. That's a tragedy. Because what happened was, is he was so preoccupied in the pressing needs of the moment, and there are pressing, I'm not denying them.
Right.
But that he never entered into the highway of tefillah. A person is guaranteed, though, if he enters into the world of tachin libam tachivos
nefa.
Getting
your eye.
Right. What do you call it? I'm yours. I don't want to just live in the, what do you call it, tomorrow I treat for the petty pay from day to day. I don't want to live in that world. I will live in the world of connection to you. If a person does that, he's guaranteed. Hashem will make sure that the things he needs to ask for, he won't forget to ask for them.
The Sifrei Kohen, he's a Talmud of the Arizal. He just mentions, remember we mentioned before, that Lamaisa Moshe Rabbeinu, he thought he was davening. He was davening for something that he'd be able actually to get an answer to. An answer that his request should be acceded to. That he should be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. Remember the Havamina, he thought that the Gzeru was Batel because the Shua had already been negated, partially negated, totally negated, etc. The whole story. In the end, it was a Havamina, but it was not the Maskana. Hashem explained to him that, no, that's not, Maskana is that's not that way. So you say, oh man, well, look at all that davening. Look what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. He taught us all these things the Svasemis taught us about here. Lashon of Tachanunim. He taught us, he taught the Jewish people, says the Sifrei Kohen, how precious it is, to go into Eretz Yisrael. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu Davin Tav Kuf Tetzvav. 500, what do you call it? 15 tefillas to go into Eretz Yisrael. Show how precious Eretz Yisrael was. He showed Afilu Cherev Chadam Unachas Al Tzavosh Adam Tisyayish, right? Min Arachamim, a person that even if his situation looks like it's lost, he'd already given over the command to Yoshua. He'd already said, whatever it is that you're going to lead them in. Nonetheless, he davened. It shows, first of all, how precious Eretz Yisrael is. It showed how a person should never give up on davening, and it also showed that if you think Hashem will tell you, it's no sweat. You're okay, I'm okay, forget about it. It ain't true. Right? In other words, there's no such thing as, you're okay, I'm okay, I don't care. Hashem does care. And sometimes we say, people take a very laissez-faire approach to, what do you call it, to life. They think, oh, God doesn't really care, and the angels say, it's okay, forget about it. It's not important. It's all important. Call Omer Vatran, who anybody who says Hashem is a Vatran, that didn't make a difference what you did, he's Mevater on his Chaim. Because if Hashem wanted to say it doesn't make any difference, he didn't need to make us. He could have left us basking in the spiritual Riviera upstairs. So all of these tefillahs that Moshe Rabbeinu davened, thinking perhaps the Gzera could be Mizbatel because the Shvua had already been negated, all those tefillahs, and Hashem prizes him at the end. No, the Shua is not Batel. Look at what he taught us for Doros. He taught us the way to reach Tefillah through Tachanunim. He taught us the value of Eretz Yisrael, the Sifrei Kohen says. He taught us how a person should never give up on the prospect of Tefillah. We shouldn't assume that there's a Shua against us. We don't know. But certainly every Tefillah we daven is a big schus. Even if there is, God forbid, a shua against us. So, Be'ezer Hashem, this will be a good sign to Nechemta, and our tefillah hopefully should be transformed, and through that it should transform us, because that's what tefillah is all about, is transforming us, not just a temporary interlude with the Creator, but one that leaves us as changed people post the experience, and it's Hashem.